This is Running the Race with Pastor Eddie Pinero of Calvary Chapel of Milford in Milford, Pennsylvania.
If you're dealing with suffering because of your faith, not because of something you set up or because you're having a bad day, but here he's going to encourage us as believers in Christ, as we suffer for our faith and hope, and we have this faith, we have this hope in Christ Jesus in the midst of suffering. There's going to be three words you're going to find throughout the five chapters of 1 Peter. Three words are going to stand out. You're going to see the word faith, hope, and suffering.
When you suffer because of your faith, you can take great hope in Jesus. In today's message, Pastor Eddie highlights the theme of Peter's letter rooted in faith, hope, and suffering. As you endure challenges in life, you can rest in the truth that your faith is being stretched and that the Lord will carry you. What difficulties are you facing? Is your faith in the Lord leading to struggles at times? Find hope in the presence of Jesus. Well, let's join Pastor Eddie in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. As he continues his message, introduction, and greetings.
Before we get to the recipients, we look at the name. Peter, his original birth name, his name was Simeon, or in the Greek, sounds familiar, Simon. But when Peter met Jesus, Jesus was the one that kind of changed his name. And there is many reasons why. We don't have the time, but obviously the Lord is going to use Peter. Peter, you find when you mention the disciple, his name is always mentioned first. Always mentioned first. When you find Jesus, not taking all 12, you find there's always three with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And I think the reason why he has Peter, James, and John with him always, because if you know Peter, he's always getting in trouble, right? He has to keep an eye on Peter. Come on, Peter, I can't leave you alone. Come with me. And he's like, you know, foot and mouth kind of Peter, okay? He says things and then he regrets it later. But anyhow, in John chapter 1, verse 42, it says, "Now when Jesus looked at him," speaking of Peter, "he said, 'You are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas.'" And it says, "which is translated a stone." Now that in brackets is actually in the original text. It's not anyone who translators, it wasn't me. And when it says, "which is translated a stone," John, he writes understanding that there's a lot of Jewish traditions, and he tends to, every now and then, if you read the Gospel of John, he tends to interpret it so the Gentiles like you and I can understand. But we're grateful that we have, you know, concordance and commentaries to kind of help us with that. But he writes that it means a stone. So Cephas in the Aramaic means rock. In the Greek, it means Petros. So in Aramaic and in the Greek, is either stone or pebble. And so Jesus' description of Peter, of his future strength and character, he said, "You're a rock." You know, not the rock. Jesus is the bedrock. That's why Jesus, when he at Caesarea Philippi, he takes him there and he says, "Who do men say who I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Bar-Jonah, for no man has revealed this to you, but the Holy Spirit." He says, "Upon this rock," not him. And that's where Catholics usually use him as to be the first pope. But then we have a problem because Peter was married. He has a mother-in-law, if you read the gospel. So he can't be a pope by Catholic, you know, views. But he says, "Upon this rock," meaning he's the rock, "I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And there's some background as he points to a mountain was like a rock. It's a really big rock. And this is where a lot of pagan practices were at that time. So though he's a rock, but Jesus is the rock, the bedrock. And so now his name, Peter, his name is mentioned more than any of the disciples. All of them put together, if you were to tally up how many times the other 11 disciples' names were mentioned in the New Testament, you find that Peter's name is above all the other. His name is mentioned 191 times in the New Testament. 191 times. 162 times is as Peter or Simon Peter, 23 times as Simon, and 6 times as Cephas. So this is the Peter who the Lord had inspired to write this letter. His name is Peter, which means rock. So now let's look at the recipients. Who was the letter written to? Who was the letter written to? Let's look at verse 1 again. Let's look at verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This region here, there was persecution in Jerusalem. They made their way up north, and they made it to Asia Minor, which we know as modern-day Turkey. So these places where many of the Christians who were being persecuted had to flee to. This is also the area where the letters to the seven churches were written in the book of Revelation. Okay, so Ephesus, it's all in that region there. So this is where they fled, up north. And so this region is predominantly Gentile area. However, both Gentile Christians and Jewish Christians were being persecuted, so they had to flee. But this also, again, applies for us. The date, we kind of touched on that in the beginning, in the introduction. It is, 1 Peter was written before his death, around AD 60 to 65. According to tradition, this happened before his death because, you know, Peter was later martyred. He was killed. The other one that didn't die a martyr's death of all the disciples were two. Judas, who gave, he actually took his life because he betrayed Christ, and John the Beloved, who wrote the Gospel of John, who wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, who also wrote the book of Revelation. Okay, he's the only one that died of natural causes, okay? But Peter was martyred. He was martyred, and, you know, tradition says by historian Eusebius that Peter was crucified upside down. Upside down. And the reason why to be crucified, he himself requested to be crucified upside down because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, who was the one that executed this killing of Peter? It would have been Nero. Nero was the one who persecuting the church, extremely bad, I mean, evil type of persecution. He also beheaded Paul the Apostle. He persecuted the Christians by tying them up on a pole, and he would do this near his palace. He would tie up the Christians on a pole, a row of poles on the left and the right, and what he would do, he would light them up and burn them alive. And as they burn alive, he would actually, historians say that he would be on his chariot naked and mocking them. He said, let your light so shine. He runs right between them as they all burned alive, Christians. Or if he didn't burn them alive to be like human, lampstands, he actually would actually send them into the lion's den. And we're talking about extreme persecution, and that's evil. And that's historical, and that's exactly what the early church had been through. And so Peter is writing this. This is taking place as he writes this letter. That is the background, so you can have an idea of the persecution that the church was going through at that time. Now let's look at the place. The place in where Peter wrote this epistle was in Rome. However, he metaphorically calls it Babylon. Babylon. At the end of his letter in chapter 5, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, Peter writes this, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. Again, he's not talking about modern day Iraq, Babylon, but metaphorically, he's describing the capital city of the Roman Empire. Babylon is used in the Old Testament, but is also used as a place. We see that in Revelation of Babylon, chapter 17. In the same way, Israel is used either as an individual, Israel is used for a people, Israel is used for a location. Jacob was called Israel. Remember when he wrestled with God? He was called Israel. Then the people, the descendants of Jacob, they would call Israel, the children of Israel. And then we have a land called Israel. So in the same way, Israel is used in a good sense where God is using things, but also Babylon is the opposite. And so he calls it Babylon. Now, the reason for the letter, we looked at the title, we looked at the author, recipients, the date, the place. The reason for Paul's letter is to encourage the believers who have been scattered throughout the region of Asia Minor to maintain their faith and hope in Christ Jesus in the midst of suffering. That's what it's about. And we know this is good for us today. It applies for all of us. There's a lot we're going to learn from this, whether, you know, the little suffering that we suffer as a whole, as Christians, or personally you might be suffering because of your faith, not suffering because the world suffered. Those who don't believe in Christ, those who are atheists, they too suffer. They go through trials, they go through tribulations, but it's different when we go through it. If you're dealing with suffering because of your faith, not because of something you set up or because you're having a bad day, but here he's going to encourage us as believers in Christ, as we suffer for our faith and hope, and we have this faith, we have this hope in Christ Jesus in the midst of suffering. There's going to be three words you're going to find throughout the five chapters of 1 Peter. Three words are going to stand out. You're going to see the word faith, hope, and suffering. So we need to maintain our faith and hope in suffering. That's why that is the pretty much kind of the theme of the letter. Faith is mentioned 7 times. Hope is mentioned 4 times in the letter. But suffering is mentioned 17 times. Okay? So there's a whole lot of suffering going on during that time. And we deal with suffering. So the reality is we need to understand it's inevitable as believers in Christ that we will suffer. Again, we read that in the opening. We will suffer. We will suffer and we will go through tribulation. And so Peter, in his first letter, he is going to encourage the believers in Christ in this region. He's going to encourage you and me to keep our faith and hope in Christ. Now the theme. Let's look at the theme. The theme of 1 Peter, as we already probably got a little bit from what we have so far discussed, is hope in times of suffering. Hope in times of suffering. That is the overall theme, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. And here's some key verses to help us with that. Some key verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter writes this, "For to this you were called." Really? What is that? "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Did not Christ suffer? Yes, he did. That's why Jesus said, "No one is greater than the master. If the master suffers, so would we." Right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be bothered." 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "But rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering." Rejoice. He's going to explain how we're going to do that. Because that's something, really, I'm going to rejoice because I'm suffering? It said that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settles you." And so in the end, the bottom line is we win. We win. Jesus never said it's going to be easy. Never said it's going to be easy following him. He said there will be suffering, but it's going to be well worth it. Maintain your faith and hope. And you may say, "Well, I don't know if I can do that." You can. On your own, you can. But that's why we have God. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us through this suffering. And I tell you, it's impossible without the Lord. It's impossible without the Lord. There's a difference when the world suffers and when we suffer as believers in Christ. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have God that helps us, encourages us, and comforts us, and protects us, where the world who rejects Jesus do not have that. And so that is the introduction of 1 Peter. We looked at the who, what, when, where, and why of the book. We looked at the background. Now, let us begin a verse-by-verse study of the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He opens up the introduction by not only giving his name, but also his title. He's not just Peter. He's Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Regardless of what trade he's been, he could have been said Peter, the fisherman from Galilee. No. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. The word apostle here is apostolo in the Greek, and it means a delegate, one sent forth with orders. And this title is specifically applied to the 12 apostles only. I'm going to make that clear. Only to the apostles that have witnessed Christ and witnessed the resurrected Jesus, because today there are many who love to give themselves titles and call themselves apostle. You know, I remember I was working in the city as a police officer. I was a community affairs officer, and so I was the liaison between the commanding officer and the elected officials and the religious leaders within the community. And I remember I met one man who had a suit. He carried himself like he was a big shot. I said, "Oh man, who is this guy?" And then he gives me his card. And his card, no lie, it says, "Dr. Reverend Bishop." Dr. Reverend Bishop. And I'm looking at it, I said, okay, I didn't know what to call him. You know, it's like, wow, it's such a great title. But, you know, what the Lord says, God would humble those who exalt themselves. But there's a reason why he should not use, or anyone should use, the title apostle. Because Peter gives us the qualification of what is an apostle. I would say a capital A, apostle, meaning the disciples. And then there's a lowercase apostle, and I'll get to that in a minute. But let's look at the qualification of an apostle. The qualification, one had to have witnessed the resurrection of Christ. As a matter of fact, Peter, who wrote this letter, was the leader, right? He was there in the church. And he gives the qualification of an apostle. And this took place as they were waiting in the upper room. Before the Holy Spirit came upon the church and the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they were waiting. Now, there was 11 of them, right? Judas had already, took his life. And so Peter, he said, well, there's 11 of us. There needs to be 12. And what did they do? They had to cast lots. And they had to cast lots to see whether the lots fell on Justus or Matthias. Now, some people are divided in that, like, because have anybody heard of these two after this? No. And so some people say it should have been the Apostle Paul, because he saw the Lord himself on the road to Damascus, right? He visually saw them. And so here's what Peter said in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. He says this, "Therefore, of these men, the two that they're casting lots, and others who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." So the qualification already, somebody has to have been. Now, Jesus didn't only have 12 disciples. He had many, right? And so of all these men, okay, not the 12, aside from the 12, they have had to accompany the disciples and Christ all the time. And it says that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John, when Jesus began his ministry there. Remember, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," to the day when he, Christ, was taken up from us, right? He ascended to heaven. One of these must be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, let's go back to the guy who gave me his card, the doctor, reverend, pastor, bishop, whatever, right? He already disqualified, unless he's 2,000 years old. He didn't witness or physically witness Jesus Christ, did he? No. And so he is not an apostle based on the qualification that's given to us by the Apostle Peter. Now, that's the apostle, capital A. I would say the smaller A, apostle. In a broader sense, we are all apostles, right? Because what do apostolos mean? It means to be sent out, right? So we all sent out, every single one of us. What is the greatest commission? Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son. So in a way, we are all apostles in that we're sent out following the Great Commission and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that is the difference between the two, okay? And there's nothing, when we find the qualification of a leader, when we look at 1 Peter, right? Qualification of a bishop, an elder, and a deacon. Those are the names that we would use, and those are the names that we use, and pastor, which is synonymous. We use because they're biblical titles that are given to us in the scripture. Not even reverend. Reverend is not even in the Bible as a title. The word reverend is only mentioned if you had the King James Version. Okay, and is in the Old Testament, and the word reverend means to fear. Am I going to fear man? No. Who do you think you are that I have to fear you? Again, they need to be humbled. And these titles mean absolutely nothing. And so that's why we're not into titles. Okay? Only the titles that we find in Scripture. Those are the only titles we're going to. We're not going to invent, create, or because of tradition. We don't care about tradition. We don't care about what man says. We're going to see what the Bible says. So anyway, that is an apostle. Peter, an apostle, verse 1, of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrim of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So this, again, extreme persecution. They've been dispersed, they had to flee for their lives. Otherwise, they wouldn't be persecuted by Nero. Nero was evil. The history tells us that he actually started a fire in Rome, and he blamed the Christians. And so that's why there was even more persecution and more of a reason for him to persecute Christians, because Roman emperors always considered themselves to be gods. And they expected Christians to burn incense and claim that Caesar is God. If they didn't, they wouldn't get their certificate of citizenship, and they would be persecuted. And so there is no Christian that's going to call any man God. So they're now pilgrims in that they're foreigners. He said that to the pilgrims, they're foreigners in a foreign land. And can I tell you, saints, this still applies for us, you and I today. And yeah, you might be citizens of Milford and Pike County. Your name might be in the government buildings as a citizen. However, our citizenship is not on earth, it's in heaven. It's in heaven. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through, okay? It's not so much that your name would be listed in the office of your community or the town. The most important is that your name is written in the book of life. Because if your name is not written in the book of life, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Look what Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. He said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. "These all died in faith," speaking of the heroes of faith, "not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth." All the Old Testament saints, and when we studied Hebrew, we'll look at what we call the Hall of Faith, right? Moses, Abraham, Isaac, all of them were all listed there. They knew Abraham was the richest man in the Old Testament. He had servants, he had cattle, but he never settled anywhere. He never built any stone structure as a home. He lived in tents. Why? Because he knew that he is just a stranger pilgrim on earth. And the same for every single one of us. Because when we pass away, when our spirit leaves our body, if we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we've been born again spiritually, not physically out of your mother's womb, but born again through the rib of Christ, through the blood of Christ. We're born again spiritually. When we pass away, we will live forever to be with Christ. Not everybody will go to heaven. That is a lie from the enemy. Good people don't go to heaven. I say this all the time. It's only those that believe in Jesus Christ, been born again, who have repented, been born spiritually. Because those that are born just physically, not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, that's why we have that term, born again.
Thank you for taking time today to listen to Running the Race with Pastor Eddie. Pastor Eddie's been pulling practical truths from the book of 1 Peter. This is the book to read if you're feeling discouraged about an unfair situation you've experienced. It's the book to read if you need to know you're not alone in that frustrating and hard circumstance. Pushing through these kinds of times isn't always easy, but it is worth it. If you find yourself in a place today where you need prayer, please contact us at runningtheraceradio.com. and click back to the homepage. Once you've done that, you'll find a form under the Contact tab. Simply fill it out with your prayer request and click Send. This is a safe and confidential way for us to know how to pray for you. Running the Race is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Milford. Here's Jessica to tell you more about how you can partner with us.
Prayers for this ministry would be so appreciated. The opportunity for the lost to be reached over the radio is incredible. So please pray for our listening audience, and that what shared will alter people's lives forever. Another way you can support us is by prayerfully considering giving in a financial way. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into producing this program, and we're grateful for all who are willing to come alongside us to support the creation of each program. If you feel led to do this, you can find a Give tab at runningtheraceradio.com.
Thanks, Jessica. Donations of any size are always used by God. be sure to come back again for more on Running the Race.